The Lord. Ooh. Are you not thankful for a heavenly Father? Believe it or not, I remember the first time I went into Eagle River. I had to sit where their sound booth was, because I still couldn't have people sit behind me. So I had to have my back up against the wall. And the times that Sister Donna is referring to me sitting in an altar was as she taught about rejection. I couldn't understand how a God could love someone like me. That everybody used and discarded me. What can I get from you? The core, what can I get from you? And here I am with a God that is just so perfect.
Yes. Yes.
What could you want somebody like me for? It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that God would take someone who spent his early years blaspheming him just to have him preach his goodness. It's amazing. As Brother Levi was ministering and powerfully, there was a word. He touched on a scripture, and the Spirit began to minister to me. And so I would like to share what God was stirring on me that Thursday. Now, I was informed just recently that apparently it's Super Bowl. So I should feel it's only fair that I inform you I don't care. Amen. I don't care who gets a victory on a football field, because I'm here to praise the one who got victory at Calvary. So without any further ado, if we could please stand, I give honor to the pastor and pastor's wife. I hope that they're enjoying their last days. I can't wait to hear what he's going to bring. I give honor to all of you. I count it a great honor to be able to preach on such short notice. I know that this church is full of ministry, and I'm not the only one. So it is a great honor to be up here again. But in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, I want to briefly look at this. And I'm going to try and take you through my thought process. So when I say amen, I'm asking really, are you still with me? Have you fallen off the bus? Right. If you get quiet on me, I know I need to back up. Right. Amen? Right. Oh, I knew you'd be quick learners. The Holy Scripture states, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them.
Hallelujah.
And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. I want to preach to you today, make me a sanctuary. You may be seated in the presence of the King. Exodus is a meaty, meaty book. Boy, Genesis, Exodus, all the books of Moses, you could preach and never leave those books. You could dig forever and never outdig those. I don't think you could outdig anything. I know that the Lord one time told me that you could preach from one verse for the rest of your life. And when you get to heaven, I'll show you everything you ever missed. And I believe that. But here is Moses. And Moses is a humble man of God. Humbled because you thought you could make the calling come by your hand, only to be taught that it's going to be by His. You thought you could initiate it under your timing, only to discover it's when God says so. I've had to learn that lesson. That sometimes it's not the enemy shutting the door, sometimes it's God. And I waste a lot of energy trying to push open what he's not wanting open at the moment. And so Moses is here and Moses speaks to God face to face. And there's one thing that Moses, he wants. He says, I will that you show me your glory. Show me your glory. I wonder how many in here desire deeply to see the glory of God. I'm not questioning this, church. I'm just telling you that if you really want to see it, God will open it up. The only question, am I willing to pay the price to follow where it leads me? Because he took him up, he said, behold, I'm going to stand you in a rock. I'm going to put my hand over it. I put you in a cleft. Yeah. You cannot see my face. Yeah. It will kill you. Right. But I'm going to pass by. I will take my hand away, and thou shalt see my hinder parts. Yeah. Yeah. That word hinder parts means not the backside. Yeah. It means the former things. Yeah. And so here's Moses speaking face to face. The more he spoke, the more he wanted to see. The more I spend time, the more I want to know. Please show me what you are really. Please show me the glory that you really are. Well, I'm going to show you what I formerly did. And so we get the books of Moses from that moment, where Moses is being shown what no man had ever seen. He's being shown creation. He's being shown the releasing of light. He's being shown a separation of waters. He's being shown what only angels got to see. And he's looking. And I can only imagine how difficult it would be to transcribe what you're seeing. Oh, God said, whew, man, I have a hard time just describing what God was stirring on me Thursday. But he showed him the former things. He showed him when he formed man out of the dust. He showed him when he breathed that breath of life into his nostrils. He showed him when man became more than flesh, but became a living soul. And then he showed him something special. He showed him when he made the Garden of Eden. Here it was, Genesis 2, verses 5 through 10. It says that he had a field in the earth and every herb of the field before it grew. Before it grew. It's barren. He formed man, he set him in front of it. And now it says, and out of the ground made the Lord God grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Before Adam's face, he showed him what was planted beneath what he could see. I went to the soil and I planted. Now I'm going to show you who the Creator is, because I'm going to grow it right in front of your face. And there's one reason why Eden was made. Because it was to become the place where God and man walked together. God and man, this was the place. It's special because this is where we fellowship. I want you to know I'm here, Adam, for you. I give all this to you. In fact, you never read in Genesis about the Lord walking the earth, but you do read about him walking in the garden. But the tragedy happened when man fell. Now, I've discussed this with some, that I find it amazing we have this enemy that seeks to devour. But from the very beginning, he needed our mouths to do it. So defeated that he couldn't release into the earth what he wanted to release until man's mouth was in agreement. Eat of this so it can come to fruition. Even still, we still face that. We sit here and talk like the devil has the authority to devour anything in our lives. But what he does is he gets me to devour my own promises. Oh, stop speaking faith. That won't come to pass. Don't you see? Don't you see? Dangerous place. And right after they fell, Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now I've preached and I've heard preached a lot about the fall. Nobody knows about the fall like Adam and Eve do. Moses is being shown it. Adam and Eve realize what they lost. But there is something that I've never heard somebody talk about. And it's what God lost that day. This is the first time you read of him walking in the garden, and what a tragedy that he's walking alone. There he is. The Song of Solomon talks about the bride who says, Where is my beloved? I believe every time God stepped into that garden, the footsteps he heard were running towards him. When God stepped into that garden, I imagine it would be like a father coming in when your kids smile from ear to ear, so happy that you're there. But not this day. This day, I imagine he heard footsteps fleeing from him. I wonder if the Lord was walking through a garden that day, saying goodbye to everything he made and everything he wanted it to be. I imagine on this day he knew it was always going to come to pass. He knows everything. But he couldn't stop the pain he felt. What a tragedy that for the first time since creation, he had to ask Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? See, when he talks about the enemy being a thief, that he wants to steal, kill, and destroy, the Lord knows because he watched the relationship be destroyed. He watched man's heart get stolen. He was in a place that was meant for us. And now I have to drive you out. Obviously, Adam hid. Most of us do. Some of us still do. At our points in life, but you'll see it with people who've never known God. When God starts to step in, I don't know what to do. Because just like me sitting there, how could a God love me? I would imagine that if he were ever to approach me, it has to be in judgment. But he didn't step into that garden to judge. He stepped in that garden to redeem. He stepped in that garden to release a promise of redemption. Because he was showing Moses what happened. That's why you read about a river that's coming out of the garden. Why did it need a river? It says that the springs came up out of the ground and watered everything. And do you notice that the river, as it broke into its four heads, they all got named. But that river is just known as a river. Because Moses doesn't know yet the full revelation of the name of the one who's the living water. Oh, you know me by this name. But what's flowing and that I'm going to make sure man has access to is water. Because I want you to have access to what's going to bring you back to what's lost. That when I begin to let my mercy out, I imagine that river was connected to the same river coming out of that throne. I imagine that water was the same water spilling from a wounded side. I imagine that my God, who knew the pain he was about to endure. We want to talk about rejection. Nobody gets rejected like him. And then he came and he made them a coat of skins. He covered them. Now, I find it ironic that the first sacrifice ever made was not made for God, it was made for man. I would argue that these coats of skins were made out of lambs. Because the first covering was to symbolize the final covering. That the Lamb of God is coming. And the Lamb of God, God first made the first sacrifice and God made the final sacrifice that was needed. Which is why he says obedience is so much better than sacrifice. Because sacrifice wasn't needed until disobedience was introduced. This was a relationship between me and you, where there was nothing between us, nothing hidden. I believe it was a relationship of pure revelation. And then we fell. My thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts, because now we're based upon what I know. You ate from knowledge, you fell from revelation to what you can be taught. And so as he drove them out, we see that God, he starts calling people to follow him. I want to bring you back to the place you walk with me. Abraham, Abram, will you follow me to a land I will show you? Will you follow me to the last head of that river that becomes the boundary of this promise? Will you follow me? Because I want to show you what only I can reveal. And so as he brought him out, we see that God starts to move and God starts to do and God starts to just do everything he ever wanted. Ever wanted. There's no promise that God can't make happen. Everything he promised, he's bringing to pass. Abraham, you can't have kids. That's not by your power. But I told you, you're going to have a seed. You're going to have descendants. And so, I like Sarah can be like, well, that's kind of ridiculous. But you would promise that. How can that be? And yet, that's because somehow I forget that it's by Him. It's by Him. And so when we get to Jacob, Jacob is interesting. And just follow me here because I'm coming around. As we get to Jacob, Jacob buys a birthright. He purchases a birthright over a bowl of lentils. Esau, a great hunter, coming out of a field absolutely starving. Apparently, you're not that good of a hunter. Amen? Bad day. If you're starving enough to sell your birthright, I'd imagine it'd be more than a day, Sister Nichols. Maybe you despised it that much. He despised his birthright. Maybe it was an hour. Maybe it was a little grumble. But Jacob wanted it. You see, sometimes to get what you really desire, you got to be willing to push a bowl away to get a birthright. Sometimes God says, are you willing to push away the plate for what I have? I'll trade you. I'll trade you this day of food for something better. Here he was with the birthright. And what amazes me is that Jacob is spoken of evilly, that he was trying to steal the blessing. That blessing was attached to the birthright. The greater blessing went to the birthright. Esau, you sold it. You're the one trying to take what's no longer yours. How tragic. Now, I'm not making up for his deceit. But how tragic that a brother put him in a position where he has to deceive what is now rightfully his. You should have been honest with your dad, Esau. That's not mine to get. I sold that. What'd you sell it for? Some beans. Not even a magic beanstalk, just a bowl. But Jacob, he leaves, he has to flee. Esau's none too happy. So he has to go, and he ends up at a place where he's sleeping all alone, head on a rock. And God shows up to him. He sees a dream. He gets a vision of angels ascending and descending. And in that dream says, if God will be with me and will keep me, he says, if God will be with me and go the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. You grew up with your grandfather. You grew up with your dad. And it's not your God. But you want blessing and birthright. Dangerous place to be. But God is faithful. Everything Jacob does starts to prosper. He goes to Laban. It starts to prosper. All of a sudden he gets a beautiful wife. He gets deceived. And then he gets a headache with more than one wife. I don't know why anybody would ever want that. But every time he's out in the field watching Laban's sheep, watching Laban's stuff, he's always maneuvering to get the best end of it. I want it that it blesses me and the sickly go to Laban. And then, oh, well, you changed my wages. Well, you know, tomato, tomato at this point, Jacob. You weren't being all too fair and upright with this. You were trying to leave him with the worst. But God always blessed, always blessed until he gets to a place as he's returning. It's time to return. And Jacob gets into a wrestling match. Now, we've preached about this left and right. But I found it interesting that when it comes to wrestling, God never wrestles against a demon. But he can definitely wrestle against a man. We may not wrestle against flesh and blood, but I've made God wrestle against my flesh and blood on more than one occasion. I would imagine that it started out that Jacob was trying to overcome. But at some point, instead of him trying to be the victor, now he's just trying to hang on. And I'm not going to let go till there's blessing. And when he gets the blessing, he gets one of the greatest blessings that could ever be bestowed. The blessing that is released to him is the identity of how God sees him. You've known how everybody else thought of you to this point, Jacob. I'm going to release a blessing to you as to who you are in my sight. You're Israel. Some translations say that means prince. The Hebrew says that it could mean one who turns God's head. And that's not in a forcing manner. What that refers to is the way a child can say dad and the father's attention completely shifts. Israel, you're now in a place that when you speak to me, everything stops and you have my undivided attention. Can you imagine a greater blessing? That's better than money. That's better than anything you could get in this world. And it's a blessing that's still given today. It's still given today. And it is still sold for beans. When he went, he saw that his name was changed and he began to walk. Now we know after that wrestling match, he had a little bit of a limp to him. Because you know when you really have a touch, it starts to change the way you walk. From there on out. But more, it should change the way you see yourself. Because the revelation of who you are is going to release unto you at some point the revelation of who he is. See, it's hard to teach someone about a father who can't even accept that they're the child. And he's walking to Esau. After this moment, he used his legs to flee. Now you're in a place that's no longer going to work. You ain't outrunning him. You're going to need some faith. But what's amazing about this is that when he came, He told his brother as they wept over each other, take, I pray thee, my blessing that I brought to thee. Do you see the shift that just happened when he got a hold of identity? That when identity and blessing took place, he realized the blessing isn't just for me. I've been blessed that I may bless others. Everything I did up to this point was about me. If you'll serve me, if you'll bless me, if you'll prosper me, then you'll be my God. But he realized, because I am this in God, let me bless you. Let me bless you, Esau.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
The one who wanted to do me harm, let me bless you. Where Jesus would say, bless your enemies. Because there's no greater blessing than a Holy Ghost person praying to their Father. When I got the Holy Ghost, can you give a greater blessing than the person who can talk to God, come boldly into the throne room and say, Lord, they need your help. Please help them. Bless them. Do we see that it is more blessed to give than to receive? But sometimes I want my blessings so that it may be consumed in my own lusts. I want the stuff for me. Well, bless me. But when I get a hold of who it is I have, I realize that we're here to bless others. Church, we're here to bless who's not sitting here. Yes, we're here for each other. Yes, I believe in you. Yes, I know you pray for me. But God didn't put it just here so that he could minister to this. He put this here that it may flow to them. Because there's no point in calling a lost Marine out of the world if there's nowhere to go. I would have lost what I've been given that day if it were left only up to me. As he went, Jacob, now Israel, does something he's never done to this point. He builds an altar. His hand is put to something that is no longer about him, but to his glory. Now, you know what's amazing about this is he has all these kids, and he has a son named Joseph. He loves Joseph, and he gives his boy a coat of many colors. Because when Jacob had his name change, God called him back to Bethel, and he appeared unto him. Now, here's what's amazing to me, is that when he appeared unto him, it means to see, to appear, to behold. That's what that word appear means. And if you read in Revelation 4:3, it says, and I immediately was in the spirit, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne. So here is Israel saying, son, I'm going to make something for you because I want you to have a covering of what I saw around the one who appeared to me. This is what surrounded him, and I want it to be your covering now. I saw a rainbow that went around his throne, so I'm going to give you a coat that resembles what appeared to me. Do you see the revelation that's coming? Because Joseph doesn't have a dream until it's first covered by what appeared and the revelation that Israel got. Because Israel was told, you're not to be called Jacob no more. You're to be called Israel. And then he said, and I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. You only know me as El, but I'm going to show you that I'm Almighty. I'm going to give you further revelation. You see how Almighty I am right now. Your boy is about ready to see further. because with your generations, I'm going to bring further revelation. And as he goes, he brings him into Egypt. And Egypt at this time is a blessed land. It's green. It's full. It looks beautiful. Sometimes you can look at the world and say, well, it really looks good. But if you stay long enough, you're going to find that the only thing that's in the world for you is bondage. That when Joseph went down, he went down in bondage. I came to save you alive. But once Joseph left, they went back into bondage because that's all Egypt knows. Egypt only took the chains off because it prospered Egypt to do so. And it was temporary. The season of sin has a pleasure for a season. But bondage. Now, when they did this, they came out. We get back to Moses. They're in bondage. Moses comes. There's a God he remembers. He remembers. He remembers the promises he made. He hasn't forgotten. He hasn't forgotten you. Come out. I'm going to take you out. Come out. But I'm going to bring greater revelation. But this greater revelation is going to need a covering. It's going to require a sanctuary. It's going to require something, and the word sanctuary means to be holy and set apart, to be sanctified. It needs something that is meant only for me. And you see, when they did this, the first thing they wanted to do is they wanted to take him. Let's build an idol. I know idolatry. It amazes me that if I don't work at this, my natural tendency is idolatry. You never read anybody in the Bible ever having to have their arm twisted into idolatry. They just go into it. But how many times do you read the Lord saying, will you not come back to me? Can you imagine? The creator of the universe, God is good, can't be anything but good, begging, why am I not enough? Oh, this is good. Oh, you'll go worship this. You'll go worship this. You'll go worship Moloch. You'll put your babies into the fire for him. Right? But I want you to build something that is meant for me. And church, this is where we're at. I bring you to this point. I'm trying to take you through as God is trying to bring people back to the promise. Every step to what Brother Levi, when he said this, all of a sudden there was just that prick in my heart. And that was the statement that came. Make me a sanctuary. But then it was quickly followed by a question. Who's the me in that statement to you? See, Jacob said, God, bless me, and then I'll acknowledge you. But Israel said, I'll acknowledge you always. Because of who I am with you. Because of who you are. I make this for you. I give this for you. You see, When God took Adam and he made that garden, Jesus wants to do it again. He even gives the parable of what he wants to do. He said, there's a sower who went out into the field to sow. And he sowed his seed, and some fell by the wayside. Some fell on this. Some fell on the stony ground. Some on the thorns. And some found good soil. And then he tells his disciples, the soil is the heart. And the seed is the word. And God says, shall I dwell in a house made by man's hands? But I knit together your inward parts. I formed you in the womb. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I made you. You didn't. This is what I've always intended to dwell in. And so what do we get? We get his Holy Spirit. And then he takes us to a heart to reveal to us that it's truly barren. There's not a lot growing. And what has been growing normally has some thorns associated with it. But then what does the Lord do? He starts to work. Starts to send people your way. Help you get stones out. Help you remove this. And then he starts to give promise. Word after word after word after word. Yes. To the point that the Lord spoke to me and Kristen before we came here and said, I have given you a garden. And I'm telling you, to my shame, I said, Lord, but I don't see it. But neither did Adam. Until it was time for it to grow. And why does he give you all these promises? He tells you what he will grow spiritually. Fruit of the Spirit. Yes. He tells you what will start to dwell out of your belly. Here's that river of living water. He tells you. And then all he asks is, will you follow me? Do I matter enough for your spirit to walk in this garden again? Am I enough for you to make me a sanctuary? Because church, I was up here and I was crying. I don't know what everybody else was dealing with. I know we were on linger. But the Lord said, you come into this house, this is a sanctuary. I said, yeah. And he said, have you ever had to fight for my attention? No. And he said, Mitchell, sometimes inside of you it feels more like a battleground where I have to fight to get you to acknowledge me. I have to fight for your affection. And I can sit in the very depth of you and walk alone. Yeah. You know, he chastises those he loves. I take solace in that. But, we have a God that is promising double. This is the year of double. And what the Lord dealt with me that night is he said, it's not just me who wants to double in your life. There's a serpent who wishes to double some things in your life too. Because he knows what I've released for this year. It's a year of double. We can talk about double faith. Mm-hmm. We can talk about double portion. We can talk about double anointing. He said, but he most certainly wants to double that flesh. He most certainly wants to double your doubt. He most certainly wants to double that distraction. It's a double. Because church, one of the most dangerous times a person can find themselves in is when they're in the place of promise. We're here. We're here. We don't see it, but we're here. We could take the rest of this day until the sun goes down and not cover all the promises that are in this house. We're here. But do you see what happened to Solomon? When he stood at the height of promise, he built what David instructed him to build. Parents, what your kids build for God is going to be based upon what you show them to build. I fear the day that I don't take heed to that and then wonder why my kid backslid and why this isn't important. If maybe I showed them it wasn't important. But Solomon sat there with the wisdom. Solomon sat there with the blessing. Solomon sat there with more riches that silver became worthless. That's amazing. But here's what happened in 1 Kings 10, 23 and 24. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom, and all the earth sought to Solomon. He became the height. Hey, Solomon, let me hear what God gave you. Hey, Solomon, man, you're awesome. Hey, Solomon, wow, you're great. Look at what God's doing to you. And they all left praising Solomon, and not one of them left praising him. So much so that it is commonly referred to as Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple. And we all know what happens and the importance of what name is on a thing. Solomon's temple. Here we are, where everybody came and nobody was converted. Church, I love you guys, and I mean that. I don't say that empty. I really, really love you. And I am honored to be here. But I do know that it is a failure if we can ever get to the place where a visitor leaves talking about how great the people are, and they never leave speaking about how great our God is. Wow, that's a loving group of people, and you all are. Wow, they're so compassionate. They're so kind. They're so caring. And you all are. But it's Him that we're here for. It's His name we lift up. It's what He does. Because church, what God instructed and what God stirred is a promise that I wish to share. And then I'm closing. Is when they made the sanctuary for Him, as instructed, as commanded. Do you know what happened next? The tabernacle was filled with the glory of the Lord. The temple was filled with the glory of the Lord, to the point that Moses couldn't go in. The priests couldn't minister because the glory of the Lord was with them. And here's what God stirred on me with this single statement. Is you had Abraham looking for who God was. Israel looking for who God was. People looking for who God was. And all of a sudden, if you'll make me a sanctuary. If you'll make me a sanctuary. If you will set it aside and sanctify it. That it is a resting place. It is mine. I will dwell with you in a way you've never known. Brother Lamas asked us, how much glory do you want to see? How much glory do you want to see? And church, I'm here to tell you today that the Lord has stirred on me. If you make me a sanctuary, the glory's coming. If you make me a sanctuary, the glory's coming. If we could please stand. When I had my encounter with the Lord, my initial encounter, a light came into the apartment that was so bright, I can't describe what it is. John saying 10,000 suns, I guess. That's a good description, I guess. So bright, I didn't even know my eyes were closed. I came into church in Eagle River, saying, hey, when do we get that? Where's this God that just stepped in? When can I have that? I want more of that. Oh, well, you know, it doesn't really happen. But wait a minute. God's willing to walk into a sinner's house, but I can't find him in his. I sat there heartbroken that I got to taste something I was certain I could never get again. And I got to the place in Eagle River that I was only certain I could get it when I passed on. And so I used to go at night saying, God, will you please kill me? Let me go back to that. I don't want to be here if I can't have that. I don't want this. I want you. I didn't know you were real. And now I'm being told I can't have you. Please don't leave me here. But you see, I didn't know what he could do with my life. I didn't know I could have kids. I was told I couldn't. I didn't know that I could have a marriage where I wasn't fighting with her every day. I didn't know I could have hope. I didn't know I could have a future. I didn't know any of this. And then God, when Brother Hernandez passed, the last thing he said to me, he said, do you remember what stepped into your apartment? And I said, yes, yes, yes. He said, the Lord wants you to know. He's going to attach it to you, and it's going to return to you. For it was the residue dimension that Paul had access to. And then the Lord, I was looking for it. I was looking for it. When can I get it? When can I get it? And we're moved here. And all of a sudden, God just stirs. If you, Mitchell, will make me a sanctuary. If you will decide this year that I'm so important, everything else is done. If you will make a sanctuary, I will give you the glory that you have been chasing after. Church, I have thirsted and hungered and wept that God, this isn't enough. God, this isn't enough. I love you guys, but I want more of Him. I hear about church growth. I love people. I want people to be saved, but I don't want more people. I want more Jesus. And when Jesus increases, I know that the seats will get filled. And all of a sudden, Brother Levi is flowing in the Spirit, and the Spirit says, here it is. Do you really want it? Well, I'm here to tell you, church, I want to make them a sanctuary. And if that's your desire, I ask that you would come forward. I ask that you would lift your hands. I ask that you would push out and purge anything that's got to go. Because, oh, I want what stepped into my house. I want it to be this house. In Jesus' name. Shorosa patata ratete.